Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. When I was younger, there was a show I used to watch growing up called Are You Afraid of the Dark? It originated as a Canadian horror fantasy themed series, but in the early 90s, it was picked up by Nickelodeon. The show was about a group of kids who gathered in the woods around a campfire to tell ghost stories. And looking back, I'm not really sure why I ever watched it, because I've always scared easily. And the answer to the question, are you afraid of the dark, for me has always been an unequivocal yes. Even today, I avoid darkness. When I crawl into bed at night and realize I've once again forgotten my glass of water, I begin by turning the light on my phone, which guides my steps to my bedroom door. And then I turn on the hallway light, which guides me to the kitchen. And then when I reach the kitchen, I open the refrigerator door and I leave it open so it can illuminate the whole kitchen while I find a glass from the cabinet and fill it with water. As I make my way back to bed, I retire each light only after it's guided me through my next step. You should know that my house is small. I could easily make it to the kitchen without all the light, but I prefer not to. When I was younger, I'd turn off the light switch to my bedroom and run and jump into bed and under my covers as quickly as possible. I'm not sure what I thought would happen to me in the dark if I took my time, but I certainly didn't want to find out. It seems, as I've grown older, that I'm not the only one who's afraid of the dark. Eliminating darkness is high on the human agenda, whether it's literal darkness or psychological, relational, or emotional darkness. When darkness of any kind presents itself to us, we scurry around it or we turn our backs towards it. We hold our breath and run until we can make it into the comfort of our beds, where maybe we hide under covers made of denial, false security, or cheap optimism. Are we afraid of the dark? In a world that keeps all its literal and figurative lights on 24/7, it certainly seems so. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lent began on Ash Wednesday this past week. Lent is the season of the church where we turn out the lights. We head into the wilderness and we retrace the steps that lead us to Christ's death. Many churches don't celebrate the whole Lenten season because it's so dark and it's so ominous. We prefer what Barbara Brown Taylor calls full solar churches, the kind that focus on staying in the light, keeping on the sunny side of things, and emphasizing the benefits of the faith. The kind where people strive to be positive in attitude, firm in conviction, and unwavering in their faith. Lent disrupts these patterns, though, don't you know? It's hard to remain positive and to keep on the sunny side when we walk the Lenten road. It's hard to have unwavering faith when we choose for 40 days to stare into the darkness. It will be a while before we get here, but in the 22nd chapter of Luke, just before his arrest, Jesus prays to God at the Mount of Olives. "If you are willing," he cries, "remove this cup from me." And we are told that in his anguish, he prayed earnestly until his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Darkness. Even Jesus wanted to avoid it, go around it if it was at all possible. My friends, we are headed into the night. We are retracing the dark steps that led Christ to the cross, and we find ourselves in this season reminded of our own darkness, our own pains and trials, our own fears. Maybe you too, at one time or another, have found yourself asking God earnestly that your cup be taken away. We could choose to deny the darkness, to go around it or find some cheap fluorescent lights to illuminate that which we're afraid to face, but my guess is that's never really worked for any of us. For any of us who know darkness, who know pain, who know fear, who know loss, full solar churches fail us. They don't meet us where we are or help us to wade through the valleys of the shadows of death. Being told to push your fears away, to leave behind your worries and trust God is an insult to our pain and, quite frankly, a denial to our humanity, the very humanity that Jesus came to embrace. So this Lenten season, what if we leaned into it? What if we trusted that the darkness was the way? What if we decided to believe the words of the prophet Isaiah that there are treasures, riches hidden in secret places, which can only be found in the dark? I watched an interview this week with Parker Palmer in which he shared a story about a time he went rappelling down a mountain. He was part of an Outward Bound program, an experiential outdoor education program where he was asked to rappel down a 100-foot cliff. Midway down, he froze in fear, and when one of the instructors asked, "Is there anything wrong?" he responded, "I don't want to talk about it." The instructor then shared with him the Outward Bound motto, which is, "If you can't get out of it, get into it." He realized then that the only way to deal with darkness is not to walk around the darkness or turn your back to it, but to get deeper into it. Go into the dark until you see the light. I want to try something with you. Close your eyes, if you would, for a moment. Adjust to the discomfort of not being able to see. And now, remember a time in your life when things were dark. A time when you lost your way, or a time when you knew excruciating pain. A time when you felt lonely, unseen, or unknown. Darkness is different for all of us. But recount in your mind a time when you couldn't see the way out. You can open your eyes. My assumption is that whenever darkness fell on your life, whether you lost your job, your marriage fell apart, your child got hurt, or you prayed hard for something that didn't happen, you began to doubt some of the things you were told about what the Bible says. Or maybe you were part of a full solar church which no longer had an offering for you, so you began to doubt the meaning and purpose of the church. But because you're still here, then I would venture to guess that the darkness did not overcome you. And I would also venture to guess that maybe, just maybe, you learned something in the dark that you could have never learned in the light. You see, what Lent reminds us of is that brokenness is not the end of anything. It's the beginning. This journey we are embarking on, where things get really dark and grim, where Jesus ends up on a tree crucified, this is the beginning of something, something incredible. My friends, if you haven't learned it yet, you will. Most of the magic in life happens when we are shattered, when the lights go off, when the shine wears off of life, when the things that once sustained us no longer can. This is how our false gods are broken and our cheap fixes are proven empty. Viktor Frankl said, "What is to give light must endure burning." We avoid darkness, but it's the realest place to be. It's how we become real, like the velveteen rabbit who only becomes real through sickness, pain, and death. We must go into the dark, let everything fall apart, in order to find what's truly indestructible. On Ash Wednesday, the same day that Lent began, a 19-year-old gunman pulled the fire alarm at a high school in Florida to draw students out of their classrooms. 17 youth were killed and more than a dozen were injured. And if this isn't darkness, then I'm not sure what is. So here are our options as the church. We can A, be an epidural to this kind of pain. We can get creative on how to numb the pain. We can gather together and sing songs of faith and focus on our need to stay positive. We can encourage each other to stay into the light, to remain unwavering in the faith, steadfast in what we know is true. We can do what we can to keep the light shining so we don't have to see into the dark. Or B, we can be midwives. We can choose to acknowledge pain and darkness, and we can say to one another, "Yes, yes, it hurts like hell." And instead of trying to numb the pain, we can help one another to push through it. Push, we can say, push. I can't take away your pain, nor would I dare try, but I'll sit with you in it. And I'll say to you, push. Walter Brueggemann says that there's a huge bias in the Bible about taking pain as the primary language of human possibility. Think about it. The Exodus story, which grounds the whole Jewish tradition, begins when the people groaned and cried out in Egypt, and that began the whole business. And pain is always privileged in the Gospels. Jesus' encounters are largely with those who are in pain or those who are causing pain. My friends, what this means is that God is not absent in the dark. God is everywhere in the dark. So let us not reach reflexively for the lights, not yet. Let us wade into the dark until we see the light. I don't imagine that this is going to be easy for any of us. Maybe you want to consider a full solar church for the next several weeks. But I'm going to choose to believe that if we are willing to walk in the dark come Easter Sunday, we will know the difference between resurrection and resuscitation. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Let's get ready to push. Amen.